a few hours ago to worship God in spirit and truth. We've just been blessed with a beautiful, beautiful day of life. We ought to be thankful for that. And I'm thankful for the opportunity that God has again blessed us with, that we could assemble together in a fashion like this to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. I encourage you to take your Bibles out and follow along with me and make sure that what I'm saying is right. I'm not the standard. I'm not the authority. The Bible is. And so if I make a mistake, then you ought to catch that and point it out to me so I can make correction of it and never preach it again. And the only way that you're going to catch it is if you're paying close attention to what I'm saying and you're searching the Scriptures and following along with me. And it's good to see each and every one of you, especially those that are visiting with us. We have a good number of visitors. We thank you for coming, especially. It's good to have our brother Cecil with us. He recently obeyed the gospel. We're thankful for him, and it's good to have him here with us and his wife Mary. We thank them for coming. We're glad that you're here. It's good to see you and have you with us. I'm finishing up a sermon tonight on divine stipulations. At the end of the sermon tonight, you'll have 20 of them. And the word if is found a good number of times in the Bible. And we've just, as it were, touched the hem of the garment as we have thought together about some stipulations that the Bible points out for us that we need to be aware of. And the first one I want you to think about is found in the book of Revelation chapter 22. This will be number 16 in our study. Revelation chapter 22. There's no more outlines in the back, but if you desire to have an outline, you let me know, and I'll make you a copy of one. That way you'll have all of these, and then you can make your own study and just keep adding to them. In Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19, John penned these words. "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life." I talked to you about the book of life Wednesday night. Remember that? This would have been a good passage to have used. "God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." The context of that is talking about the things written in the book of Revelation, but the spiritual application is applied to the whole Bible. Because of long ago, God has expected that His Word not be tampered with. You agree with me? Like in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and in verse 2. When the Jews long ago were admonished to not depart, don't add to it, don't diminish from it. You don't go to the left hand or the right hand. You do what God has commanded you to do. A lot of people today don't take that seriously, evidently. They think you can just do what you want to do. Whatever they want to do, they think that that's okay as long as a man is sincere in his heart. The Bible doesn't teach that. The heart is important, Romans chapter 6 and in verse 18, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." And so the heart's important, but the heart's not the standard. You see that point? You see that distinction? And we've got all kinds of examples in the Bible when individuals added to the Word of God, they subtracted from the Word of God, or they substituted the Word of God. Going all the way back to the beginning with Adam and Eve. Do you think God meant business when He said concerning the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die? Did He mean what He said? He sure did. And they found out very quickly that God means what He says. Genesis chapter 3. And they're not the only examples that we find. We find examples like the two sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, who offered strange fire before the Lord, which God had commanded them not. Leviticus chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. And they found out very quickly that they should have listened to God. You see that point? Moses found out that God means, and you would have, I suspect that Moses knew along the way that God means what He says. Maybe his emotions got the better of him. I don't know. But he found out that he is not exempt. Though he was a great leader of Israel, he was not exempt from doing what God said to do. When God said to speak to the rock, and he struck the rock, thereby failing to sanctify God in the eyes of the people, he was not permitted to go to the promised land. It's recorded in Numbers chapter 20. And I think about Uzzah, who the Bible talks about in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 6. Transgressed. Now they had no business transporting the ark of God upon a cart, but they did. And as it was being pulled by an ox, the Bible says that the ox stumbled, shook the ark. And Uzzah reached forth his hand to steady the ark. But God had said long ago, don't touch the ark. If you do, you'll die. Did God mean that? He sure did. That's recorded for us in 2 Samuel chapter 6. And then I think about Saul, who the Bible records when God had said, I remember what Amalek did. He go to the Amalekites, and you utterly destroy them. Well, Saul transgressed in keeping Agag alive, and as a result of that, he found out that God meant what he said. That's recorded for us in 1 Samuel chapter 15. And a lot of other passages could be cited as we think about the fact that God is a keeper of his word. Do you believe that? Look at those examples. Look at all of them. The Bible says that they are written for our admonition. They are written for our learning. Romans chapter 15 and in verse 4. If any man shall add unto these things, take away from these things. Folks, leave God's word as written. Get the point? I hope we all do. I'm convinced I'm talking to a group of people who by and large understand that and want to do precisely what the Bible says as opposed to their own will. If you don't, if you follow your own will as opposed to God's, there's grave consequences, eternal consequences to the man that would add to, subtract, or substitute for the Word of God. But also as we think about divine stipulations, conditions that God has put forth, all of these begin with the word if. I think about what the Lord said in the book of John, chapter 14 and verse 15. Many of you could probably quote that. If you love me, what's the condition? Keep my commandments. Now, sometimes we sing the song, Oh, How I Love Jesus. I like that song, don't you? But I told you before, we can be guilty of singing a lie as well as telling a lie. Now, I can't sing and lift up my voice in praise to God about how I love Jesus if I don't do what Jesus says to do. And Jesus has told us to do a lot of things. I recently heard a conversation between a man and some other individuals who was trying to convince him and say to him that unless it's written in red, that he wasn't going to believe it. He continued to quote Paul and Peter and the others that wrote the Bible. And he said, stop quoting to me. Are you a Pauline? Are you a Paulian? The man would say, tell me what Jesus said. Well, evidently he didn't read the book, because the Bible says in Acts chapter 1 that after Jesus ascended to heaven, that he continued to give commandments unto the apostles through the Holy Spirit. And they taught by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and they wrote by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we've got to listen to what they said. Paul said it this way, if any man thinketh himself a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37. You better listen, and I better listen. What I say to you, I say to me. We better listen to what Paul said about it, because he said that what he got was not after man. Well, preacher, where is that found? In the book of Galatians chapter 1, and in verse 11, when he said, for I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me was not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. We better listen to what the Bible writers had to say. Are we on the same page? I hope we are. If you love me, keep my commandments. And it's recorded in the book of 1 John, chapter 5. Or 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 2. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. There's not one commandment that God has placed upon any of us that is too difficult to do. Now sometimes it's easy to understand, but it's a hard pill to swallow. Right? Sometimes we know very well what the Bible says, but we might find it difficult to do it. The application can be difficult at times because of our own self. Because we don't like the implication of it. We don't like what comes along with it. But it's easily understood. Now, there's nothing difficult about what Jesus said to do in becoming a Christian, staying a Christian, being faithful unto God. The question is, are you and me and others willing to do it? You see that point? And truly His commandments are not grievous. But as you think about divine stipulations, I want you to appreciate what's stated over in the book of 1 John. Excuse me, in chapter 1 and in verse 9. I shared this with you in the invitation this morning, but it bears repeating as it's one of our points tonight. In 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 9, John records, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I just made the point in verses 6 and in verse 8. Verses 7 and verse 8. That we sin. All of us sin. And you may obey the gospel of Christ, I hope you do, but that doesn't mean that you're never going to fall short, that you're going to come short of doing what God would have you to do. We are still going to fail. Sometimes maybe through ignorance, but ignorance is not bliss. Sometimes we do things because we didn't know better. But it's still sin. It's still missing the mark. We've got to grow and do what God would have us to do. Sin is sin. There's no categories of sin. And though I'm ignorant about it, doesn't mean that I'm exempt from it. You see that point? Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31 points that out. In the times of this ignorance, God winked out. They didn't know the God of heaven. They were a worshipful people, engaged in religious activity. But to no avail, they didn't know the God of heaven. Paul said, you worship Him in ignorance. Him declare I unto you. So we're going to do wrong. Now when we do, God has made provision for the child of God that we can have the forgiveness of those sins through repentance and confession of those things unto God. We read about that in Acts the 8th chapter. When Simon obeyed the gospel of Christ, but he sinned. And offering money to Peter that he might buy the ability that on whomsoever he would lay his hands, he would be able to give them the Holy Spirit. And Peter said, thy money perish with thee, for thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. He told him to repent, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. And so when we miss the mark as children of God, we need to repent of that and confess it unto God in prayer. And God will forgive us. Sometimes it's hard to forgive ourselves. Sometimes we may ask the question, now, did God really forgive me? Well, did you really do what God told you to do as recorded in the Bible? Then don't doubt God's Word, His part. You do what God said to do. In the book of James chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible says that we are to confess our sins unto one another and pray for one another. Confess your faults unto one another. Pray for one another. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We need perhaps to all practice that more than what we do. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us for our sins. Now you have the forgiveness, but it's based on the stipulation that you confess them unto God. Number 3 tonight, which is number 4, which is number 19 in our study. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 17, Paul said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. You want to be a new man created in Christ Jesus unto good works? You need to obey the gospel. You need to be in Christ. God has put many things in Christ. Makes a good sermon. I love to teach it as a Bible class. I think I've preached it at least maybe a time or two here. The significance of being in Christ. Paul said we are a new creature, or some versions say new creation in Christ. God has put all His spiritual blessings where? In Christ, Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 3. God put salvation, you know where? in Christ, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 10. So if you're not in Christ, you're not saved. There's no way to be saved outside of Christ. And so a basic question, preacher, what must I do to get into Christ? And it's very simple. Paul pointed that out in Galatians chapter 3 that you know so very well. In verses 26 and 27. For we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put Christ on. Now, a lot of people today say you can be a child of God without being baptized. Then if that's the case, then you can do what God didn't say you could do to be in Christ. Because He said that one must be a child of God by faith in Christ, and we must be baptized in order to be in Christ. See that point? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Last point. As we think about divine stipulations, I've enjoyed this study, and I hope you have too. You've got 20 of them. You can just add and add to these things that we've studied together. The fact that God has conditioned many things on what He has said. And we need to learn and appreciate that. In the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 23, when Paul is writing to the church of Christ at Colossae, he penned this. If, right off the bat, right off the top, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. And he's talking about reconciliation back to verse 21. In the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. And what's the condition? If you continue in the faith. Over and over the Bible emphasizes continuing in the faith or the doctrine of Christ. Acts chapter 2 and in verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and breaking of bread, and in prayers. And in the book of Acts chapter 13 and in verse 43, the Bible says, "Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them, persuaded them," now watch this, "to continue in the grace of God." And back over to the book of Colossians, chapter 4. Notice what Paul penned in this chapter. Colossians chapter 4. And then verse 2, "Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving." In the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 4. And then verse 16, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine." Doctrine means teaching. "Continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." The Bible talks over and over about continuing in these things. So I ask you tonight, have you obeyed the gospel? It's on the stipulation. Your salvation rests upon whether or not you'll obey what God has said to do. And it's so very simple, it's not difficult to be understood. You become a Christian in the same way that they did in the Bible. You just open up the Bible and you say, what in the world did they do to become a Christian? And you soon find out that individuals heard the gospel, Romans 10:17. Every example in the book of Acts of conversion, from Acts 2 through Acts 19, first began with individuals hearing the gospel. Every one of them. And then they believed it. John 8:24. They turned away from their wrongdoing, that is, they changed their mind about it, that's repentance, which the Lord commanded, Luke 13:3 and 5. They confessed their faith in Christ that He is the Son of God. "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Acts 8:37. And they were baptized for the remission of their sins. Acts chapter 2 and in verse 37. When you do that, that's what they did. And when you do that, you can know that you obeyed the gospel. Not because some preacher told you or because you heard something along life's way, but because you know the book of God said so. Maybe you're here tonight and you have done that. But you've not been faithful as you should. You used to be. You used to be steadfast, but along life's way you pulled up your anchor of steadfastness, and as a result you drifted back into the ways of the world. But you want to be restored. You want to come home. We want you to come home too. God does too. Repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession to God in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come right now.